This is a journey into sound.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 123. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and Papa John's out on baby duty this week, but in anticipation of the recent launch of the newest version of VMware Cloud Foundation, we've got an episode pre-recorded for you. Take a listen. Let's bring these gentlemen on, starting with Mr. Kevin Tebear. Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. So, Kevin, you work with VMware Cloud Foundation. You've actually also been on the podcast in one of our Fire, Flood, and Bloods. Am I correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
Good stories there. And joining you is the first time on the podcast, but no stranger to VMware. His brother actually does a podcast with Tony Reeves, Britton Johnson, and which is a great podcast, by the way. So be sure to check out GigaCast. But his brother is coming on for the first time, Heath Johnson. Heath, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's funny. You guys both have that voice for radio, man. You guys should do like a show together.
Right. One time we should just get a bunch of people with deep voices on and just talk it out.
Talk it out.
Smooth jazz in the data center.
Yeah.
Simplifying your workload. I love it. Wonderful. All right. So, gentlemen, you both work in the, in the what is now called the HCI BU, which focuses on, guess what? HCI. A big part of that is VMware Cloud Foundation. So for those that don't know what VMware Cloud Foundation, give me the quick elevator pitch. What is VMware Cloud Foundation?
Absolutely. So I can kick this one off. One of the analogies that I use lately to help people understand it is today, a lot of customers are familiar with VMware Cloud on AWS and how easy you can go out to a public cloud provider website like VMware Cloud on AWS and swipe your credit card virtually, and you get instant access to infrastructure, hardware. And so VMware Cloud Foundation provides that same level of instant access to hardware, making it easy to access and grow and scale, but we do it in your data center, in your private data center. So very quickly, easily deploy entire set of virtual infrastructure services in your data center with just a click of a couple buttons, and we can deploy the entire Cloud Foundation stack that includes compute, storage, and networking all virtualized in your private data center. And when it comes to scaling that infrastructure, we make that easy too. So we can add hosts and add clusters or even add entire workload domains, as we call them, within Cloud Foundation quickly and easily, all with just a few clicks within the software interface.
Okay, so off the bat, like obviously as technology starts to move, and we start to migrate to the software-defined data center and VMware Cloud on AWS, obviously huge value proposition because you don't have to think about it, right? You just, it becomes a situation where there are so many components in the back that you don't have to consider. It's just, you just spin it up for you. So it sounds to me like VMware Cloud Foundation, similar thing where whether it's storage, networking, compute, management, all that good stuff just basically gets configured for you pretty simply. Is that the pitch?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It's all easy to use. You don't have to worry about trying to figure out how to configure it or turn the right nerd knob. All this stuff is configured for you. You just deploy it within your private data center, and we take care of all those different configurations settings. And then the biggest value add that we have built into the system is our lifecycle management. So when it comes to patching and upgrading all these different software components, we can patch and upgrade all these components again with just a couple clicks within the software environment. And so we can patch NSX, vSphere, and vSAN components all quickly and easily, all from a nice unified dashboard within VMware Cloud Foundation.
With the end goal there being that you're on a unified BOM or bill of materials of a software set that you know works together, and you're not having to manage that on your own.
Okay, so there's vSAN, there's NSX for the networking, there's vSphere, which is obviously the management, vCenter for managing, and then you said, was it vRealize Operations as well?
Well, we have the entire vRealize suite as an optional component built into Cloud Foundation. So by default, the one vRealize suite component we deploy automatically from the beginning is vRealize Log Insight, a centralized logging of the entire management workload domain that gets deployed on initial bring up of the software-defined data center. But after that, you can add more components. So we can add vRealize operations. We can add vRealize automation to the system. And all those different components are completely added later on.
Nice. Okay. So far, we're basically just talking about standing up, right? So deploying is
right.
Is that the true value of the huge value? But is that the big value that VMware Cloud Foundation brings to data centers is to deploy?
Day zero. Yeah.
Okay. Day zero.
Yeah. You have two different types of customers, right? You have the type of customer that requires agile environment where they're quickly spinning up new workload domains, right? They're spinning up a vCenter. They want to test something. They can do that quickly and easily through Cloud Foundation because every workload domain gets its own vCenter. If you choose to use NSXV, it gets its own NSX manager, et cetera, able to quickly test those things, roll that workload domain down, decommission it in the future, and be able to repurpose those hosts all over again. The second type of customer is the one where they want the easy deployment, but they want consistency, right? They want to know that every time I deploy a workload domain, every time I spin up a Cloud Foundation instance, it's going to be done exactly the same way every single time. So consistent and repeatable deployments makes it, you know, much easier to support and then subsequently lifecycle manage those products as well.
So what's really exciting for me is I've never actually figured out how to install NSXT. I've just used EF to do the deployment. I mean, I think a lot of the value comes from the patching and the lifecycle, because previously I'd have to go consult what I called my star charts and figure out, like, okay, I've got all these products. Okay, what's the order I update them in? Let me go look at the update matrix. You know what? I should probably go read the release notes to go find the, you know, the one subset thing. It was, I mean, just not even necessarily the upgrade action for even some of the basic stuff like vSphere. It wasn't about that, the time spent on that. It was about all the time you just spend preparing and researching and figuring out all that stuff versus having an easy button for the full stack. You can get the stars back in alignment.
Yeah, a quick, easy Excel planning document to be able to start your journey with Cloud Foundation, and then a wizard to walk you through the entire process, you know, on any day two actions of creating a workload domain or deploying NSXT in a workload domain, et cetera, right? It's the easy button for your infrastructure for on-premise.
Okay, so let's look into a bit more. What exactly is a workload domain here?
So a workload domain is a cluster, and we'll start with that basis because most of our listening audience here will understand what a cluster is. But we take it a little further, and that's why we'd call it a workload domain. So when we deploy a workload domain in Cloud Foundation, it includes its own NSX manager and controllers, and it also includes its own vCenter server. And that vCenter server is connected to our management workload domain using enhanced link mode because we're sharing the same single sign-on platform services controllers. And so because it has its own infrastructure pieces, software-defined infrastructure pieces there with the vCenter and the NSX manager, it's not just a cluster. It takes it kind of to that next level. So when I explain this to a lot of our customers, the way to look at it is you'll have that management workload domain. It has its own vCenter. And then you can create another workload domain with its own vCenter. It's got that whole enhanced link mode thing, but you can create multiple workload domains. And so you can give a workload domain to your Windows administrators. And then you can give another workload domain to your Linux administrators. And then using role-based access control within the vCenter, you can prevent those two different business units within your business from having access to each other's systems. And then they're separated by licensing, right? So you've got Microsoft licensing in one and Linux that really doesn't need licensing in another. And so we have that ability to separate workloads through different workload domains.
Okay, so yeah, if I've got internal tenants, in that case, I can separate them out in regards to that.
Right. And then going a little deeper within a workload domain, we can have multiple clusters, right? So if they've got different business applications within the Microsoft workload domain, they can have a separate cluster for each of those individual business applications and really separate things out nicely.
Okay, so for storage for this, I'm a storage guy, you know, And I try to think about other things like networking, but what does the storage look like for each of these workload domains when we bring them up? What are our options here?
Sure. We have basically two options from the get-go. So every time you create a workload domain or create a cluster, you need primary storage. That primary storage, the two easiest options to automate here are vSAN, of course, which is actually a requirement for the management workload domain. But any additional workload domains, we give you the option of vSAN, or if you'd like to leverage an existing investment in your NFS array, for example, we can automate and provision out to a NFS array as well.
Oh, okay.
In addition to that, we also support supplemental storage, meaning, we can only automate NFS or vSAN, but if you have some fiber channel storage, Unity Power Max today is supported to be able to add as supplemental storage into your workload domain.
Okay, so I have to start with vSAN for the management workload domain. Any other workload domains can be either vSAN or NFS just to deploy them and get the managers and the various components online, the vCenters. And then if I've got some bulk fiber channel laying around, that I'm still depreciating that asset maybe. In those cases, I could manually provision it and put VMs on in a workload domain, but I couldn't stand up a workload domain. I wouldn't get my management components or anything without the NFS or vSAN, right?
That's correct. Okay. NFS or vSAN is required for all workload domains.
Got it. No, that makes sense.
Yeah, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but it just seems like the whole goal of a tool like this is to make this more scalable, make it more simplified, and I feel like adding... I guess it makes sense if I've got it laying around and I want to bring it into the mix as like a transitional period to bring in some, but it definitely sounds like adding something like a fiber channel or whatever would add unnecessary complexity into what is trying, it almost seems counterintuitive to the goal of this solution.
Oh, absolutely. Because now you have another HCL to manage, for example.
Yeah.
If your, fiber channel or NFS array need to be versioned separately to stay on the vSphere HCL, or, that's another update that you're managing outside of the stack, right?
Yeah.
If VMware owns and operates basically the entire stack otherwise, namely being vSAN, you have a single point that all these components need to align to. The only thing you're managing outside of that would be your VIBs for your disk controller, for example.
So Kev, how does it work? Like if I've already got an environment, obviously most people already have, clusters that are set up by themselves. They've already got their infrastructure. If I'm considering VMware Cloud Foundation, does it migrate to VMware Cloud Foundation, like existing environments, or is this just like a greenfield solution?
Sure. So I'm going to answer the first part of this, and then I'll have Heath answer the second part of it, which was the migration. So today, VMware Cloud Foundation is greenfield only, meaning you need to have four hosts that are vSAN ready nodes that have essentially nothing on them today. We can go ahead and stand up your management workload domain, and then potentially repurpose some of those existing assets. So if you already have vSAN ready nodes, for example, you can do a couple different migration strategies to get to the dehydration of them and hydrate the Cloud Foundation side of the house. The other way is if you have vSAN or non-vSAN ready nodes, rather, and you have an NFS array, you can add those hosts in, wipe them clean, add those hosts in, connect them out to the NFS array, and then be able to provide lifecycle management on those as well. Now, I'll have Heath answer the migration way of getting, your dehydration to hydration situation.
Right. So like Kevin mentioned, if a customer's got NFS, they can, a couple easy ways to migrate and with NFS would be to power off, right? Do a cold migration of your virtual machine. So power them off on the old legacy infrastructure, and then just attach the NFS storage to VMware Cloud Foundation and then register those virtual machines and bring them in. It's a nice, simple, easy way to do a cold migration. But that requires downtime. So included with VMware Cloud Foundation Enterprise is another product from VMware called HCX. And I've been talking about VMware HCX for a couple of years now. And it's a great product for being able to do live migrations, right? So this is like vMotion on steroids.
Nice. I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, I love it. It's an amazing product. When I first saw it working in my lab, I was blown away. It took me back to that moment when I first saw vMotion many years ago, right? Because this is being able to migrate a virtual machine between disparate data centers that don't have the same single sign-on interface and do it live. And also not re-IP them, right? So it's doing layer 2 extensions and enabling the features of NSX using VXLAN or NSXT using Genev, and being able to do a live layer 2 migration of existing virtual machines, and we can do it quite well. So I've done it in my home lab with Cloud Foundation installed in my home lab, and I've live migrated a virtual machine to VMware Cloud on AWS using HCX over a home internet connection. I mean, how amazing is that?
That is crazy. HCX.
No downtime, no ping drops. It just works.
It's like a VM slurping machine. And I just love that it works on, you've got some environment that's, you know, ancient, out of support, some 5.0 environment, and you can get those VMs out of there.
Oh, it's even better than that. So built into HCX, and we should probably even do a whole episode on HCX.
I think you're right.
Built into HCX, they've got some secret code that will automatically inject those CPU masks.
Oh, so per VM EVC.
Yes,
for
and
you.
They do it on legacy. You know, I think it requires hardware 9. So they know the backend APIs that are kind of secret to VMware, and they're able to set these CPU masks and move things from legacy to your new environment and still be able to have it be able to vMotion back just in case something doesn't work right.
So that changes the VMX config and on the fly. Wow.
Yeah.
That's shiny. No, I was going to ask, assuming you're on a reasonably modern version, could you do cross SSO vMotion?
You could, but when you look at the requirements in the KB article for cross vCenter vMotion, where you do it over like a Power CLI or using the API. Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of requirements that basically say your source and your destination have to be almost the exact same version. There's a few that kind of cross over there, but if you're on 6.5, you have to have your destination on 6.5. And if you're deploying vSphere or VMware Cloud Foundation, one of the latest versions, you're going to be on 6.7 update 2. So that's basically going to require that your source or legacy site be up to almost that version as well. So there's quite a few restrictions there.
You'd probably be doing a multi-hop in the old environment, so that way the VDS versions would match with your new one.
Or you do swing storage or something like that. I mean, you take a look at how HCX impacts a customer's ability to you know, return an ROI on their investment of Cloud Foundation. It's huge, right? They can just, you know, start HCX, schedule their jobs, and say, dehydrate all my, you know, legacy infrastructure, hydrate my new investment. You know, I have customers that were doing, you know, 300 VMs in the matter of a week, right? Decommissioned all of their legacy and moved, replatformed everything onto Cloud Foundation in a week using things like HCX and writing their own scripts and whatnot.
I was talking to one large airline customer who they did a migration with HCX into VMware Cloud Foundation. And I mean, basically their Gantt chart, they were planning on something like a year and a half or something. And it was just a matter of, you know, it was very short. And it's funny you mentioned, you know, the ROI on things. If you think about the ROI of a cluster that it takes you months to build out everything or a month to build everything out, and then it takes you months to fully populate, those servers only have a fixed lifespan before you're going to decommission them. And what is the ROI of a server that's sitting empty and waiting for configuration or migration? It's awful. It's, you know, it's nothing. So you're just lighting money on fire by having empty servers in the meanwhile.
So Heath, I think we should do an HCX episode for sure. One of the questions I had about that was, what if I'm already in VMware Cloud on AWS, for example? I mean, is there any, VMware Cloud Foundation seems to be almost like a sister to that, where it's doing a similar thing for on-premises for your data center, but is there any compatibility? Is there any consistency, if you will, across, you know, something, say VMware Cloud on AWS and VMware Cloud Foundation?
Right. So there's similar, but different at the same time, right? So when you go to VMware Cloud on AWS and pay for new infrastructure, it takes a couple hours for it to deploy that new infrastructure. And that process that it's doing on the back end there at Amazon is actually the bring up process that we use for VMware Cloud Foundation. It's the same code. So they're leveraging the same type of infrastructure and APIs as VMware Cloud Foundation. beyond that, they have taken that whole VMware Cloud Foundation system and then they've gone faster with it, right? So they're leveraging specific Amazon hardware and they're able to do patching and upgrades faster than any other environment. So if you look at the versions of vSphere that are running out of VMware Cloud and AWS, they're much higher than what we have within Cloud Foundation. So code gets updated a lot quicker out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So the bring up process is the same, but patching and upgrading is a little different. But it's in the end, it's that same foundational software of vSphere, vSAN, and NSX.
But what about the workload mobility? Like if I had both instances up at the same time, if I had like a hybrid cloud environment, if you will.
Right. So we're able to absolutely connect those two environments. So I've connected VMware Cloud Foundation to VMware Cloud on AWS and been able to do live migration. VMware Cloud on AWS also includes HCX as well, built into its software components.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely need to do an HCX. What are we waiting for, John? We got to get that on the calendar. But you'll be having a baby, so I'll do it with someone else.
Yeah, that'll do. So we talked about, you know, VMware Cloud Foundation in your data center, but what about on the cloud? What are the major public clouds? How many, you know, are there partners that are hosting this that can run it for me?
Yeah, we have several partners that are using VMware Cloud Foundation outside of just VMC. So there is partners like Rackspace, CenturyLink. Of course, there's numerous other providers out there, as well as, you know, the legacy, the VSPP program?
It's VSPP. Formerly known as VCAN, formerly known as artist, formerly known as something else.
So all of those legacy partners that are out there maybe don't offer the same Cloud Foundation experience, but getting closer, right? From the business unit aspect, we are, you know, always searching for a new partner to work with there to have them run Cloud Foundation natively to support their customers.
So Heath, Kevin, either of you, I know that I think I heard internally that the new version that's coming out is upon us. Is that 3.7.2?
3.7.2 was actually released last month. However, we are releasing version 3.8.
Wow, what is the cadence with you guys? You guys are like Amazon now.
Approximately every 6 weeks.
Wow. So what are some of the new things? I know, obviously, you know, we're not going to do this every 6 weeks or every how often to see what the new updates are, but I'm just curious, like, what are some of the new things if somebody's looking at this that we can learn about for the latest version?
Sure. So a couple of big things here in this one is going to be our first version of public APIs. You know, look for those very soon. The next thing is life cycle for all of the vRealize products that we deploy today. So vRealize lifecycle management, vRealize log insight, vRealize operations, and vRealize automation can now all be lifecycled by SDDC Manager. And in addition to the lifecycle management conversation, there is NSXT. So today we're deploying, you know, version 2.4, but in the 3.8 release, we will upgrade customers from 2.4 to 2.4.1 and be able to manage the lifecycle of NSXT in an ongoing fashion.
So if I understand, I've already never bothered to learn how to install NSXT because VMware Cloud Foundation did that for me. Now I'm never going to have to learn how to patch it, is what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Well, more importantly,
my ignorance continues to roll on. So.
More importantly, because obviously we're not just talking about NSX, right? So we're talking about the entire stack. So there's going to be some compatibility issues in environments that any environment needs to consider. You know, all right, there's a new version of vSAN. Is it compatible with my networking? Is it compatible? You know, is each piece of the stack has its own dependencies? So I like the idea of this lifecycle management where you're always getting a certified and tested version of the software. Or does it just do latest, greatest, and YOLO?
Yeah, certified to work together, right? And provide the matrix and the order in which those updates need to be applied. You know, for example, you know, in my home lab, I have, not applied updates in the proper order in the past. I'm sure we've all done it.
Amen.
But if you patch your vCenter before you patch your PSCs, for example, you can log into vCenter and your inventory's gone, right? you kick yourself one time and then you remember you got to go patch your PSCs with external PSCs, and then everything comes back. But it's that gut-wrenching moment when something happens like that that you're not expecting. You know, do it live. Do it at test in production, right?
Every good cloud admin runs with scissors. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
So let me throw another update that we've got coming in this one, which is it kind of has an interesting aspect to it. VMware Cloud Foundation is based on a VMware validated design, but we don't match everything in the VMware validated design at this point. And we've been slowly merging the architecture of VVD into Cloud Foundation. And so in this release, if you already have one instance of VMware Cloud Foundation deployed and you haven't want to deploy another one, say in a nearby region, so you can have like a dual region Cloud Foundation deployment, we will allow you to connect and deploy the same single sign-on instance. So we'll add more PSCs in that second region and connect them. So you'll have four PSCs all in the correct infrastructure linking so that they're talking to each other and replicating correctly. And this brings us into alignment with the VVD for installing multiple instances of Cloud Foundation within the same region.
And so the VMware validated design, essentially, that is, you know, help me out here. I know it's a program inside of VMware that validates specific hardware compatibility, right? And a certain design that works, right? So this is essentially documentation, if you will.
Well, not specifically hardware. So it's more of an architecture design, right? So that's kind of one of the other great benefits of VMware Cloud Foundation is back when I was a customer or even consulting with other customers would pay for consultants to come in and design or architect their VMware infrastructure for them, right? And they would spend $100,000 or more on this architecture design. That's not needed anymore with Cloud Foundation or VVD. VMware creates the design and architecture best practices, and VVD is that whole documentation of that architecture. So it provides, it's like over 1,000 pages of documentation on how and why you would have this architecture. So it's a great piece of architecture documentation that if our customers haven't seen it, it's absolutely free. You can go to docs.vmware.com and download the VVD architecture. And I always tell customers, take a look at it and then compare it to your environment. See how it compares to your architecture you have implemented in your environment.
Well, it makes sense that VMware Cloud Foundation would use that because VMware is already creating these validated designs. So that's really cool that you guys are coming together and producing architecture based on a VVD that's already out there. That makes a lot more sense. So this new version, the update to that is that you're getting more closely aligned with VVD?
Yeah, so VVD has been able to do multiple regions deployments for a little while now. And so VMware Cloud Foundation is getting we've had multiple regions, but we don't have quite the same architecture with the PSCs. And so this brings our alignment to VMware Cloud Foundation and the VVD PSCs for a multi-region installation.
Perfect. I like it. Cool. Yeah, John, you said this earlier as a joke, but man, I think we're viewing the evolution of this, the IT administrator's roles are aggressively changing. And I think it's stuff like this where things just keep getting easier and easier as they should. And things just keep getting managed for us. You know, it's an interesting time to be inside of the SDDC. What do you think?
Indeed, it is. It's a cool fun time.
All right, gentlemen, I think we're coming up on 30 minutes. This has been an excellent, we're dipping our toes into what VMware Cloud Foundation is, why you'd want to do it. Obviously, day zero makes a ton of sense to me to simplify the deployment. I mean, there are so many different steps that are being taken care of for you on the back end. And they're being done right because, of course, we're using VMware validated designs. But then the other huge part of it is the lifecycle management, the ability to actually know that anything that's being upgraded is already been tested, is already been certified. It's going to work. You're not doing like John always says and YOLO, let's do a patch and see what happens. This makes perfect sense to me. I'm excited about it. I know you guys are going to be at VMware. Any specific sessions that people should be looking out for around VMware Cloud Foundation?
Yeah, so Kevin and I have been granted a special 4-hour workshop on VMware Cloud Foundation.
Whoa.
And how to operate VMware Cloud Foundation. Our workshop is going to assume that you've already got all this installed, right? Day zero is done. We're going to go through a 4-hour workshop showing you how to do operations of VMware Cloud Foundation. And it's not going to be just me and Kevin. We're going to have several other guest speakers from other business units that will dive deep into the vRealize suite products and HCX. Now, this is a 4-hour workshop, so it's a long session. But so this is going to be done kind of a early VMworld. So this is somewhere on Sunday afternoon. I don't remember the exact specific time, but if you're planning to come to VMworld, plan coming early and sign up for this workshop. We're going to dive deep into how to operate Cloud Foundation. It's going to be really exciting.
I like it.
Not to mention, we're working on unique swag for this session only.
Oh, a little bribery. I like it. Definitely.
Bribery. Absolutely. Hey,
we want to make sure it's worth your time to stay for all 4 hours.
We will provide a bio break in the middle. Yes.
Bio breaks and tchotchkes. How can you say no to that? I like it. Sweet. All right, gentlemen, I am going to leave links to all of the... I've seen lots of great videos. I've seen presentations, and the landing page for VMware Cloud Foundation is pretty sufficient as well. So I'll be leaving a ton of links so you can learn more about what VMware Cloud Foundation is and all the different parts. There's so many moving parts behind the scenes. It's really cool to see. Gentlemen, anything else before we take off?
If you have any questions... And you're on Twitter, reach out to at SDDC Commander to answer any of your questions, or Heath or I, and we can get them answered for you.
Awesome. Absolutely. John, start the car up, man. Get over to the hospital. You are now free from podcasting duty for the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Kevin and Heath for joining us this week. We're back next week, but until then, bye for now.
Enough of this jibber jabber.